What a day for a daydream. What a day for a daydreaming boy. And I'm lost in a daydream, dreaming about my bundle of joy. And even if time ain't really on my side, it's one of those days for taking a walk outside. I'm blowing the day to take a walk in the sun and follow my face on somebody's new mowed lawn. I've been having a sweet dream. I've been dreaming since I woke up today. It's starring me in my sweet dream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you go friggin' nuts. And my very special guests are super soldier consorts of sorts. We have James Rank and still the magnanimous, lascivious, and altogether delicious Laurian Fenton.
Oh, thank you, Vinny. I really appreciate you having me on the show today. I have never been called all three of those things in one sentence. So I really thank you for that. And let's see. Well, we kind of left off in the last hour with all of my stories from my youth and the bunny rabbit appearing and why I think that the whole super soldier cabal may have tried to use my DNA. If indeed they did, we don't know. But I'll tell you something very interesting. A lot of the young super soldiers that could be my children do look a lot like the people in my family. And what's even more uncanny is that they have all their mannerisms. I mean, it's just odd. I see Erin Hicks, and she looks a lot like my sister, and she acts like my sister. It's really weird and uncanny. And then Alara Blackwell, she is just like my other sister. It's like I'm hanging out with people in my family when I look at the two of them, and it's very weird. It's just, it's a weird sensation. I get around them and I know they feel it too. They feel like we're somehow related. And I don't know what
who knows, means. Maybe you got kidnapped and they sampled your DNA because of your powers and so on and so forth, and they hatched a couple of them.
That's what we're all thinking, you know, because it's like they like to – this is very odd. I used to be in the dog breeding when I was younger. We had a show dog, a Doberman Pinscher, and I learned about breeding dogs. And one of the things you have to do is you have to kind of go out of the branch a little bit to strengthen the whole line. And I think that by the people that my ancestors married out to, they were all pretty powerful people psychically, I believe, in their own right. And they're all still carrying that O negative or Rh negative bloodline within it. And I think that they said, okay, we've got to now, that's the next generation, we've got to go out and get this type of bloodline to make this program work, because we need something that's not strictly from maybe the evil cabal whose
royal bloodline.
Yeah. So something along those lines. I don't know. And, you know, we may never know. And it could be all my imagination. You know, you get down to a point where you just kind of go, this could all just be nutso stuff, and I don't even know what I'm talking about, but this is what we all kind of feel when we get together. So there's got to be some kind of truth to something somewhere. You know, it can't all be just clear cut and perfect scientific, you know, like everything that's real is factual and here it is. On a spiritual level, you kind of have to say, well, you know, if one girl looks like my sister and the other one looks like my sister and we all feel this connection, maybe there is some kind of soul connection. Maybe there is some DNA connection. Maybe there's something going on. But no matter what it is, I think that for the rest of my natural life, I believe, and I think James can attest to this, that most of the people that we've been hanging out with for the last couple, 3 years since we started the first Super Soldier Summit was they're now part of our family. I mean, I believe that. I know James believes
it. Do you feel this wholeness kind of thing? Like, it doesn't matter what the connection is between you. The point is that you're connected and now you feel like more of a whole again.
Exactly. And, you know, we all get together at the summits, and it's just like we're with our family. And I got to tell you, everybody hung out at the hotel an extra 2 and 3 days last time because nobody wanted to go home. Nobody wanted to go back to their real life because they were with their family. And it's a very spiritual, deep connection. And it may even just be as simple as people that are being abused and victimized by the evil cabal that I really believe is out there. And that's another thing, Vinny. Until I was 53 years old, I was a hippie chick. You know, I believed in aliens and I was running around doing UFO stuff. And I've never seen an alien. I've never seen a UFO until that night. I think I saw one. But, you know, I was very much just kind of, you know, knocking boots and having fun and just being a good old gal. And then this happened to me, and I really believe in evil now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you would. Speaking of evil, you know what's a real evil thing to do somebody on radio? Have them hold on air quietly for ages while you keep talking and don't introduce them.
Oh, I'm so terrible. Just slap me. Okay, James Rink, my buddy, my best friend. What are you doing? Are
Hi
you there?
There. Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, it's very intriguing. I totally agree. Yeah, we're all one big family here now. Even though we could be related. I wouldn't go put that, you know, out of the way. But I know, like at least with a lot of people who have been in my lab experiments, our DNA has been harvested, and they are definitely. I mean, they're using us for whatever reason. They probably have huge stockpile of DNA to pick from and
sure of it.
Spread it around.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure of it. You know, and James, I would definitely say that our family is very dysfunctional. At least you and Tyler, Alara, I would put Solaris in that group even more. Joanne Richards, you start rattling them off. There's about 12 or 14 of us that all pretty much have found each other. And there's always one or two in there that are fighting with each other. And they'll call me and they'll say, why is so-and-so not talking to me? And then I'll have to call the other one. I mean, I definitely am like the mother because I'm always in the middle of it when everything kind of falls apart. And they all call me and I have to call each one of them.
Do you have that motherly, mother sense? Like one time my brother was was going to jump off the garage roof and he had a Batman costume on. And mum was like right on the other side of the property. There's no possible way she could have seen him or heard him, but something told her run all the way to the garage. And as she got to the garage, she managed to catch him as he fell.
Oh my God, wonderful. Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because every once in a while I'll get these twinges that they're calling me. I'll hear it in my head. It's like they're saying, I got to talk to you, I got to talk to you. And I will call them or they'll call me within 2 minutes. 2 or 3 minutes. It's just like I'm hearing it before it happens. I don't know how important that is.
It happens to me too as well, man. I remember this one time there was like real no food in the house and I was really craving a meat pie and I was just sitting there and then all of a sudden there's a knock at the door and it's my mate Dan and he goes, hey bro, we bought you a meat pie.
I love that. Well, this seems to be only when they're in trouble. Believe me, it's more like, you know, I need $100. Something's gone wrong. The car's broken. I mean, it's never like, hi, how are you? But what is funny, Vinny, is I did get 2 phone calls on Mother's Day. I was laughing over that one. You know, they text me, happy Mother's Day to the super soldier mom, you know, that kind of thing. So it's very cute. It's dysfunctional for sure. And James will attest to that. I'm absolutely sure of that.
It sounds like the latest. AMC comedy or something like that, you know, like the super soldier family having to get together and they get into the situations. It'll be like The Simpsons, but in real life and with satanic rituals.
Yeah, but we don't like the satanic rituals. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting those. We don't want them to happen. We can't stand those people.
Oh, yeah, which is why you talk about them and expose their scumbaggery.
That's right. The scumbaggery. That's right. That's a Vinnie Eastwoodism. Definitely. The scumbaggeries. James, what is your feeling on the whole mother of the clan situation we got going on here? Am I a good mother to you guys?
You're a very good mother. yeah. You would make an excellent surrogate mother if we could have one.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, it's very interesting because I really feel like something bizarre has happened between you and I, James. Remember the whole story you heard? I don't know where you heard it. Somebody told you when I was sick that they used your DNA to save me. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, it was something about mantoids. They laid some eggs in your lymph. Wait, no, it was your lungs?
My lungs, yeah. Now, this is funny, Vinny, and I still laugh about this. These mantoid beings supposedly laid eggs in my lungs, and that's why I got triple pneumonia and almost died in 2009.
My sister had a cicada do that to her once.
There is something to it, though, because a year after this, and I told James this, I thought it was really weird that he told me this story. Well, finish the story, James. Supposedly, they laid these things in my lungs and...
Right. Okay. And then they harvested my DNA and they made a serum or some kind of vaccination to treat it. So, allegedly, I saved your life, but I...
Exactly.
I don't necessarily trust that. Well, you know, maybe it's true. I don't know.
Well, I don't believe that it's true in the sense that that's exactly what happened. And didn't Semenji, the alien warrior that's supposedly here protecting the planet, administer the drug that they made from you, the serum? Wasn't that part of the story too?
Oh, I don't remember that part. No, I don't know, but.
Somebody came into my room. That's all I remember. There was somebody in the story that was like an alien, or somebody came and gave me the serum.
Well, speaking of that, somebody came into my room today. Tonight. I was on the phone again with my friend, and next thing I know, my nose starts hurting, and it's like a scab mark was taken. And my friend, he's very gifted psychic, and he's saying, How come I couldn't see? And then he said that he sees a silver flash. Next thing he says, 3 seconds pass by, and there's a group of grays. They come and harvest your DNA. They take a little bit of scoop mark, and then they're going to go off and probably make clone bodies for super soldier stuff. And but supposedly they like stop time, even though I guess. But he said 3.5 seconds went by. But maybe 3.5 seconds on my perspective, but on their perspective, they slowed time down and they did all the whatever work they needed to do. And so he said he destroyed the sample and told them not to come back. But they've been coming back. He says they've been coming back about 3 to 5 times a week. And that seems about right.
Well, you're a unique situation within the super soldier community, and I'm going to tell the audience a little story that I found very intriguing because, you know, James has these what I call fantastical stories, but just like the story about my lungs with the mantoids laying the eggs in it, I always feel there's a bit of truth into part of it because he may be looking at it from a more psychic standpoint in a lot of cases, which you really can't always get the actual hard facts out of. But there always seems to be some kind of truth to it. Now, there are many people...
What is a mantoid, though? I mean, is it like just an older version of a boytoid?
No, it's actually an alien. And they're the mantoid aliens, and they're the taller ones that look like the praying mantis, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, some of them, they don't have a soul. Well, some of them anyway. And they're animated by the life force energy of the planet. And they view other races as something to be harvested and just used. You know, it's like...
There's like some giant, I don't know, like alien DNA specimen semen jumping spraying device up there, like could just swoop over a city and like make every woman pregnant, you know, like a Snoop Dogg concert?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it at all.
Well, okay. This was from a remote viewing session. Well, actually, I was describing my friend some, like this flash of a memory I had, and... basically, I was walking down a long hallway in a very advanced city. It almost looked like Coruscant in the Star Wars movie with the spires and the huge buildings. And apparently, this was a Orion Prime in the Draco homeworld. and I was sent on a mission, and I had a piece of paper in my hand, and I was reading it, and it was basically a list of all the secret projects and what was going on here on planet Earth, and it had like a list of how many spaceships the Cabal had, which is about, I think it was about 250. It had a list of how many Greys clones were being delivered to the government, to the Cabal, about 100,000 annually, and they would drop dead. And what they would actually do with these Greys is they had the receptacle inside of them that would go to a male and take the semen, and then it would store the semen inside the receptacle. Then it would go to a female and insert it. And so they were going around doing all these genetic experiments on people unknowingly. And of course they were also doing it. These Greys would inject viruses and nanobots and stuff to mind control people or, mutate their DNA or kill them if need be.
Wow. Well, see, now that's what I like about you, James. You tell exactly what you're going through and what's happening. And what a lot of people want to poo-poo what you're having to say. And, my biggest goal is to get us taken seriously, for what we're doing. And I got to tell you, Vinny, a lot of what James has had to say is being reported by other alien encounter, people like Melinda Leslie. I mean, the list goes, my God.
Oh, it's the same deal, man. There's tens of thousands of testimonies that rival this, It's either a shared experience that's totally so realistic and so visceral that people can't even tell it from reality, and they can't tell the difference between whether it was a dream or a memory. Or it's real, and this stuff is happening. And there's sophisticated devices and things of this nature which these advanced races have got to really mess with people's memories. And in some cases, that's not even required, because a lot of these people wind up getting kidnapped by the military and enslaved and mind-controlled anyway.
Exactly. And what's interesting, Vinny, is that most of the people that are having alien encounters are usually the people being used in the super soldier programs, in the mind control programs. They all fall together. And a lot of the kids coming out of the satanic ritual abuse and Cabal or whatever, those kids are being used. And their children, in many cases, which I'm finding horrific and I'm finding more and more about this daily, is they are using them to breed more children so they can kill them during these satanic rituals. Isn't that scary? I mean,
When I was in that city, in Orion Prime, that was the other thing on the list, was basically they were kidnapping people from on planet Earth, the reptilians. And by the way, this planet was filled with reptilians, and I was in a reptilian body when I presented this list. But that's kind of complex to explain about that. But
what did it feel like to have a reptilian body, bro? Like, did you have a tail and stuff? Did you have claws? Could you
What I saw in my mind was I was looking at the piece of paper, my hands looked like claws, and so that was the only image I really got to look at my own body, because when you're in that body, you don't really pay attention to yourself. When these memories come too, you're not gonna like look yourself. Well, maybe you look at yourself in the mirror, but I don't recall.
What the claws look like?
I was in a silver form, and usually reptilians are butt naked. They don't like to wear clothes because it hurts their scales.
Oh, but that's interesting.
Not entirely dissimilar from a drug dealer.
James, that is just so weird that you're saying this, because remember, and this is what I want to tell the audience. Now, James has these amazing stories, and like I always tell him, I say, you just make us sound like a bunch of crazy fools by telling these stories. But in a weird sense, I being the grounded one of the group, and I'm always trying to tell people, look, take us seriously. We may sound like a bunch of fruitcakes, but we really do have something going on here, or we wouldn't be talking about it, because it's touching all of our lives in a very real sense, even though we may have some, like memories or what I call that they're letting us have these screen memories of stuff. Maybe they actually want him to see what they're doing up on this other planet. I don't know if the planet even exists or if that's what they're doing, but I've had an experience with James that really blew my mind. I was sitting at the registration desk, and James, you know what I'm going to say. I'm sitting at the registration desk at the Super Soldier Summit 2, and I see out of the corner of my eye that James is walking towards me through a doorway, and he's bouncing off of the wall, kind of, that is there. And not bouncing in a sense. He's leaning up against it, and then he'll lean away, and they'll kind of bounce back into it. And he looks like he is completely not here. Like he is being mind controlled or something's wrong. I looked up in the instant I saw him, and I went, what is wrong with him? And the minute I thought that, I saw one of his eyes, it would be his right eye and his right thigh, like in the Matrix, turn into pixelated versions of his eye being a slit like a reptilian and his thigh being kind of grayish red or brownish red and turning into scales and growing. And it was just the weirdest experience. I mean, I'm like looking at him and it happened for a fraction of a second and then he went back to normal and then he kind of bounced off the wall a couple more times and came towards me. And I'm sitting there and I look at him and I say, James, are you okay? And James, what was going on at the time that I saw this? Because I really did see it, folks. I'm looking at him and it was only for a fraction of a second, but I really saw it.
They were playing a screenshot from the movie Oblivion, and they were playing music from the movie Oblivion. And at that time, I did not see that movie yet. But whatever it was that whatever was on the screen or in the music was kind of making me kind of I don't know how to describe it. Be triggered, maybe.
Intense déjà vu.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. But I was trying not to think about so I guess maybe a flash of memory or images was coming into my mind. I was trying not to think about it because, I was trying to stay focused on being at the Super Soldier Summit, whatever task I had on hand. Didn't want to start, doing whatever I do. I'm still trying to figure out exactly because, this show is about super soldiers, and I just thought I would mention that from what I'm able to recall, it appears that I have not been used in this physical body, in this dimension, as a super soldier. However, with that said, it appears that I have at least 11 clones, nine of them don't have a soul, and those are most exclusively used for off-world missions. I'm not quite sure if I actually controlling these through some kind, maybe they put me in some kind of trip seat here in this physical dimension and I try to drive them like an avatar, or whether or not they're just remotely controlled with some kind of artificial consciousness in them. But, but it does appear that I was at Montauk. I've had, at least from my perspective, I feel like I was there. Oh, I went. Do you know who Preston Nichols is?
No.
I do.
Yeah. Well, he was one of the.
Well, let's tell the audience a little bit about Preston Nichols so people understand who you're talking about. He was one of the scientists at the Montauk Project. If it was for real, and folks, like I say, I never know if any of this stuff's real or not, but apparently Preston was there and they did. Time travel experiments, but also experiments where they sent people to different dimensions, supposedly, and they used a lot of young boys in these experiments, but they were also supposedly working alongside some reptilians. And the famous story goes that Preston gave one of the reptilians antifreeze for your car because they used to like to drink it because it made them drunk. And this is one of the far-fetched stories that came out of Montauk.
I thought it was Drano.
Was it Drano? I thought it was antifreeze.
Well,
see,
I'm pretty
that's
sure
what
it
I
was
mean.
Drano.
That's how far-fetched the stories get. So,
see,
you know,
I thought if you wanted to hear Montauk, you'd go to Jamaica.
Montauk. Hey, Mon, you gonna talk? Anyhow,
well, of course, we got to talk Mon because it's Montauk Project.
Exactly. Well, like I say, the Montauk Project I believe happened. I think just like the Super Soldier program, that there is a very real 3D dimension to it, and I akin it to, and I tell everybody this, don't let these wild stories sway you and make you think that we're all nuts, because remember in the movie The Manchurian Candidate with Denzel Washington, the opening scene is that they're in this room and there's belly dancing, a lady with snake heads and all these crazy things going on. And those are the screen memories that they give these guys so that when they get out in the world and they actually talk about this, people think they're nuts. So,
there's the idea to actually implant false crazy memories so that when people they don't know the difference between what was what really happened and what's actually just a story that they've used their mind to fill in the blanks.
I'm glad you brought that up because, at least I know a lot of people that have been involved in this, what they actually do is they put us into what is known, well, and it's called various things, a trip seat or a total recall memory boot up system or chair. And they move the memories around. But a lot of people are trained in virtual reality scenarios where they may be thinking that they were sent on a super soldier like mission where it was all basically just a test to see whether or not they would be suitable candidate material or training for that matter.
For a brainwashing program, you know, that they need them to do something else with. You know, maybe they need James to go off and tell his story in one area of town so they can go use somebody else to do the killing in another part of town for some reason. Who knows what they do? I mean, this is the part,
May I interject and I want to put an observation upon you? Maybe we can't even project how bad, terrible, and deceptive they are because we're not as psychopathic.
Well, that's the problem. In a nutshell, that's truly the problem. That is the conclusion I came to a few months ago. I was sitting here and I went, you know what? I'm never going to figure this out because I don't understand their motives. I don't even understand why they'd want to mind control anybody in the first place, let alone figure out why they're doing it. And I have no idea why they do this to use other people to kill other people. I can tell you this, though, that Colorado Aurora shooter, that poor kid, I really do think it was all about control of his family and showing the others in the evil cabal, this is what we're going to do to you if you don't play ball the way we want you to. I think it's that simple.
Similar message that was being sent when they shot Kennedy from the front.
Oh, sure. You got it. You know, it's the same thing. You know, they always want to show that they're in control and however they do it to the best of their advantage, you know, good for them, I guess.
They're like the penguins off of Madagascar, you know? You catch them in the middle of the act and all they do is wave their flippers and go, you didn't see anything.
Exactly. But here's one thing, Vinny. My new pursuit on this is, why are they doing this to certain people, not others? And then why do they even need to do it at all? So now there you go. What's their
bloodlines? I've seen that all of the super soldiers seem to have some kind of bloodline connection way back in the past or something of that nature. It's all there. It runs through families, whole families of people who get indoctrinated into the system, and you've got to somehow capture souls. I guess it is. It's otherworldly. Right? We're not talking about entities with earthly ambitions. Nothing like, you know, just as simple as money or power, you know? Nothing logical.
At least the people involved in the super soldier program tend to have a lot of reptilian genetics because they're looking for people. If you have the reptilian DNA, you have the strength that goes with it. And also, it does appear like maybe a mixture of Palladian as well, because the Palladian, you get the sensing and the feeling. So when you combine both of that with the strengths and the feeling, you have a really powerful soldier.
Well, that makes sense, because that must be my Italian side. Just laughing. My God. Well, you know, getting back to that whole thing about the stuff in my lungs. You know, I want people to really understand. I don't believe it was, that alien. I don't believe it was any of that stuff going on. But I can tell you this, a year after I had that happen and I almost died, I end up back in the hospital again because they told me if you start getting a cold and you feel like your lungs are getting you know, something's going on, you get to the emergency room immediately because you could die so easily having had this once. So I get there and this doctor walks into the ER. I've never seen her before, and believe me, I'm a frequent flyer at this hospital. So she walks in, I've never seen her before, and she says to me, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." I said, "Well, when did you end up here? And I've never seen you at the hospital." She goes, "Oh, I just got through with my Army duty, and I was at the CDC for a while, and now I'm here and, you know, back in Marin County and blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Oh, that's great." So she checks me out. She goes, "You know, I don't think you've got it again. I'm going to look at your x-rays from last year when you were hospitalized, and I'll come back and talk to you." So she walks in the room a few minutes later. She's holding an x-ray from, and it's printed on paper. It's not an x-ray, but it's, you know, a printout. And she's looking at it. She's kind of shaking her head. She's looking at me and she looks up and she goes, "I don't get it." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Well, you know, regular pneumonia, just black spots on your lung where the fluid is filling in." And she goes, "Look at this." And I look at it with her. She goes, "It looks like there was popcorn stuffed into your lungs." And she's just talking to herself, and she says to herself, "Gosh, you know, I've never seen anything like this. It looks like it was man-made." And I listen to that, and then she stops talking, and she closes the file, and she goes, "Oh, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Just go on home. Take, you know, here's some antibiotics, blah, blah, blah." And I got home, and I got thinking. I thought, wow, that was the weirdest encounter I've ever had. Here she is saying that looked man-made. She'd never seen anything like it before. And I got to thinking, whoa, maybe that's why they put me in a room all by myself. Maybe that's why I was in ICU and they were wearing those bubble masks and nobody would come into the room when I was there. You know, a lot of strange things happened during that hospitalization. Now, those were 3D reality things that happened. So the story about the, you know, the whatever we call it, the mantoid or whatever, laying stuff in my lungs, maybe that's a screen memory that James picked up on from maybe the CDC developing some kind of, you know, weapon, and they wanted to test it out on somebody with my makeup or DNA to see if it would kill me in 2 seconds flat or if I would survive it. So who knows?
Right.
Yeah.
I went is oh Vinny, you are still there. Good. I was worried. I thought I put you to sleep.
No.
Oh dear. Well, we're both drinking enough coffee to keep all of us awake here, so
it should be. I drank so much coffee I had to come up with a new name for the kind of coffee drinker I am. I'm a caffeined.
You're caffeined. I love it. Well, anyhow, so what do you think of that idea? Because I'm telling you, I think everything they do, they may mask it with some kind of fantastical story, whereas in actuality, they're just being very clinical and very scientific.
Well, I think it's about, you know how there's like a spectrum between absolute truth and complete fallacy. And in the middle is this thing called possibility, right? So when somebody tells me something and there's not enough proof to say that it's definitely true, but there's also not enough proof to say that it's definitely a lie, all it does for me is just chuck it in the possibility basket. And later on, I might hear something else that corroborates what was said there. And then
it
goes closer to the true basket, whilst not yet leaving the possibility one, until there's absolute proof of some description. You know?
Exactly.
You can be worried about all the possibilities. Like, I remember my guitarist Mike was this is classic. He only just heard about the reptilians first of all, and he was like freaking out. We were in the car, and he's like going, "Oh my god, man! Anybody could be one of them. Are you gonna come and get me?" And I was like, "Okay, bro, tell me. Yeah, have you ever seen a reptilian?" "No. Have you even heard whisper of a reptilian until now when you watch a video about it?" "No." "Well, then the rest of your life is probably going to behave much the same. You're going to be freaking yourself out and getting scared of something that you have never and may never encounter."
Oh, that is so true. You know, and, you know, I got to say, folks, the whole super soldier thing, like I said, it could be a really true, honest to God thing happening. It could be all of implanted memories or stories or things they want to do to make us all look like a bunch of crazies, which, you know, we could be. I don't know, but I feel pretty grounded. I feel pretty 3D. I measure things that happen to me. I don't.
There is an old saying, You can't make this shit up.
That's for sure. And believe me, folks, I'm 56. This happened when I was 53. And I'm at that point where I'm going, why me? You know, I could have gone my whole life without ever having to know about any of this. You know, seriously, I just, if I could have gone my whole life without knowing about super soldiers or never even heard the word, I would have been happy. So whatever happened to me, like you said, it's definitely something where I made an agreement somewhere in my brain or with some spiritual being or somebody somewhere along the line to fight whoever the evil entities are on this planet doing whatever they're doing. Because, you know, honestly, Vinny, no one has the right to go into your mind and mess with it the way these people are doing. And, you know, Robert Duncan with his books, Soulcatcher and Soulcatcher 2, and his new one, by the way, you really need to interview this guy. It's a new book on how to protect yourself from this evil cabal of mind control. And he says it's all very real. He was one of the designers of it. So, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of reality. There's a basket for a lot of reality going on with what they're doing to people, you know. And the stories are great. I mean, I love listening to them all. But, you know, whether they're all true or not, it's another whole issue. But there's something going on. I can definitely tell people that. Definitely something going on.
Well, have you ever seen a movie that you thought was pretty bang on the truth? It may not have been reality, but it was still very interesting.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Last Bourne movie, James, did you ever see the Last Bourne movie with the character named Aaron?
I don't. Yeah, I think I have.
You know, where they designed him in that the lab, or, you know, the girl was the doctor in the lab, and they went in,
okay,
they shut everybody up.
Oh,
anyhow,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that Last Bourne movie, I was told by some insider people that that movie was absolutely true. I mean, if people want to watch that, I mean, some of the stunts and some of the things and the people going after him and trying to shoot him and kill him and all that may not be as true. But the part about the lab, the development of the serums, turning them into super soldiers with extra strength and vision and, their bones being harder than other people and all the things they did to them in that lab, that whole part of it is absolutely true. And apparently,
like the serums, they're like a green thick goo and they have a bunch of nanites in them, nanobots.
Now, how do you know this, James?
Because that sounds like it's out of the, what's it called, Cobra movie. Yeah. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. He had green gooey nanites. Then he had missiles and stuff like that. And they ate tanks and the Eiffel Tower.
Well, you know what's interesting about this nanite thing? I've been doing a lot of research into it. And I'm very surprised that we're very close in the scientific community to having the type of nanites that can actually go in and adhere themselves to bone structure and actually make the bone stronger. This is a new thing that they're developing, and that they're calling it, I can't even remember what they called it now, some type of
Marmites, Vegemites.
Vegemite. I love Vegemite. But anyhow, I mean, these scientists are really getting close to doing this type of thing. And who knows, you know, what we can read in the scientific journals and we can find online and what's going on out there. My God, folks, I bet you we're 20 years behind knowing what they're really doing. I believe that.
Oh, it's quite funny. I was interviewing this guy one time. Sorry, James. Actually, go ahead. James, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, man. Were you saying something?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Keep going. I want to hear your story.
Okay, well, I was talking
to someone.
And he had this guy that he interviewed, you know, periodically. And, like, in the 70s he interviewed him when he was a lot younger. And he goes, man, the level of technology that they've got there is 10 years in advance of anything you can think of. And you're like, wow. And then he interviews him in the 80s, and he goes, man, the technology we've got now. Oh, no, actually, you're saying how bad things are going to get, or how bad things are. And he says, man, things are about a thousand times worse than you could ever possibly imagine. And he interviews him in the 90s, and he goes, man, things are 10,000 times what you could possibly imagine as bad as they'd be. And then he interviews him in the 2000s, and he goes, mate, they're 100,000 times as bad as they could possibly be. You know? And it's just, I think that everything just keeps getting worse and worse and worse for some people, and they focus on how bad everything gets, and they forget to try and make it better.
Well, yeah, I agree with you on that. I totally agree with you, Vinny. But there is a point where we do have to wake up and we have to say, look, these guys are out there. They are doing mind control. They are figuring out ways to enhance our bodies, because you just go online and look at when you type in super soldier as a reference point in Google, you come up with all these things that the military is doing to enhance their soldiers on with a super soldier body shield that they are not, what do they call it? Body armor or exoskeleton?
Like an exoskeleton.
Yeah, an exoskeleton that they get into, and their whole body is, you know, like in Elysium, you know, when they put that thing on him. Oh, my God.
Yeah, drill it into his nervous system.
Oh, my God. Wasn't that wild? Anyhow, that's what they're making right now. Now, who knows that they're not telling us something they've already developed like 10 years ago. You know, because and another thing that we haven't even touched upon today is what I believe we do have some sort of secret space program. I really believe that's going on out there. After seeing that triangle, which may or may not have been a triangle, and I have no idea what it was, and having been in the UFO community as long as I have, I am actually a MUFON section director up here in Northern California, and I hold meetings once a month for people that, you know, want to find out more about UFOs and aliens.
And after the meeting ends, do you tell everybody to just move on?
Actually, I should do that next time. That'll be funny. But, you know, the whole thing is I've been hearing from people for years about their alien abduction experiences and their alien encounters with spacecrafts and all kinds of things. I've never seen any of this stuff or experienced any of it. But, you know, it's there. So, you know, it can't all be outer space beings coming here. I really think that probably 80% of what's out there is ours. I think we have the knowledge. And I think they're never going to let the U.S. population know what they know. And I just think it's a big farce out there. And I think, you know what bothers me the most? Is that the people, at least in the United States, are dumb enough to believe that we don't have those ships. That those would be alien ships. They think all 100% of them are alien. My thought is 80% are ours. You know, and I think the government just laughs at all these people who say, oh, yeah, the aliens were outside my house last night and this and that, you know, and I think it was probably them. So I don't know. And who knows what they're doing? You know, maybe they are fighting with aliens. Maybe they're fighting with each other. I have no clue what they're up to, but I really think it's them. So, and you're talking to somebody who listens to UFO stories all the time. And, you know, on my radio show, I interview a lot of people who, you know, have been abducted and see UFOs and all that. And I still think that part of it's military. So, anyhow,
well,
that's just my opinion.
That was through Project Solar Warden.
What's Project Solar Warden, James? I haven't even heard of that.
That's the U.S. space program, the real one, where they actually have ships that allegedly can go off-world, which I don't know if that's
cool.
True.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think David Hasselhoff could have his own planet or space station or something. You could call it Hoff Planet.
Yeah.
Hoff Planet, like Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, Hoff Planet. I'd love to get him to his own Hoff Planet. That'd be great. We need him off-world anyhow.
Well, chances are they're probably connected to My Labs, where basically My Labs is one group. I believe it's centered in the United States, and any other faction or other group of ET that wants a group of grays want to harvest a certain subset of human population, they would contact My Labs and say, hey, we want to order such and such and such. And they'll place an order, and My Labs will do it. And it's such as grays, any kind of, you know, even in the United, within the military would go to them. So they're just like mercenaries. And so they're probably the ones that are connected to Solar Warden.
Hmm. Interesting. Hey, Vinny, have you been talking to any of the people that are involved with the UFO abduction and
I have several weeks of guests on that particular subject. Yeah.
Has any of them mentioned to you that recently, within the last few years, there has been a consensus going around between all of the people being abducted that there possibly is a big slowdown or even a stoppage of them taking sperm and ovum and creating hybrid children?
I've never heard of that. No.
Oh, okay. Because what's interesting, the last couple of years I've gone to the UFO Congress. I did not make it this year, the International UFO Congress, because I couldn't. There was long reasons why, but I couldn't make it. But the 2 years before, the experiencers meet like four times or five times during the Congress, and there's about 80 to 100 of them in the room, and they speak to people like Barbara Lamb or Yvonne Smith, some of the more prominent hypnotherapist in the community that help people that have had PTSD from their alien abduction experiences or their MyLab experiences. And up until just this year, they were even including people who were under mind control in these groups. And one of the things that's come out of it is that the whole, you know, creating the hybrid children, taking sperm and ovum, doing all these experiments has pretty much come to a halt in the last, like, 4 to 5 years. The Greys have not been harvesting as much materials to use for anything. And what's even more interesting is the ships that they were described for, you know, 50, 60 years that would come here and do those kinds of experiments, the ships that they would fly in were usually more of a disc-shaped silver craft. And now what we're seeing in the skies much more often than any type of silver disc-shaped object is a glowing, fiery orange or white UFO out there that actually has the ability to break up into many pieces and pull itself back together again. It's more ethereal. It's not really this hard silver metallic ship, which I find extremely interesting.
Like a transformer.
I mean, it's not in the sense of the Transformers because they were all metallic, but these are just like, you've heard of the orbs, those bright glowing objects that float around the size of a basketball.
I met somebody at a party and she showed us this picture that she just took like the night before and she goes, what is that? Like, that's the moon right there. What the hell is this? And we go, oh, it's an orb. She'd never heard of it before.
Oh,
well,
interesting.
I've got footage when I was visiting Tyler, we were filming the moon, and I was just joking. I'd say, why don't the aliens just make a fly over the moon or so we can see them? And right then, it shows on the footage, like this little disc-like craft flew like a quarter side of the moon.
Well, so, how big was it? Was it far away or close, James?
Well, I couldn't tell because of the distance, because it's in the telescope and it was in front of the moon. So, I mean, it all depends on how close, you know, far it was.
Yeah,
the moon,
exactly. So it could have been like 400 miles long or a foot long.
Yeah.
Depending on if it was right in front of the telescope or not.
But it definitely was not a mosquito in front of a lens or anything like that. You're like, oh my God, what is that alien insect?
God, that's probably a mantoid right there for us all. Oh, my God. Well, anyhow, I just find it intriguing that a lot of the people that are having abductions now are not having that type of abduction. They're not having the ovum, sperm, you know, we're going to create babies abduction anymore. The abductions are actually becoming much more spiritually oriented. And I can't go into detail because I wasn't at the last the Congress. I just heard secondhand from several people in the experiencers group that they were shocked that all these people are now getting spiritual awakening type of contact, and they are getting much more what I would call training in their contact, where they're getting told things, they're getting taught things, they're getting taught languages, they're being put in front of computer screens. Like, there's a famous abductee in America called Jim Sparks, who for years would be fighting these aliens, and they were doing the whole sperm thing from him and creating babies. And then later on, as he got older and he stopped fighting them, they started putting in front of screens and teaching them their language and doing all these things to him. And it was a big, long progression for him. But he was one of the first persons I ever heard this story coming out of him. And I thought it was very intriguing. But now it seems that most of these people that have been having experience their entire life are getting much more spiritual and training type of abduction. And I find that fascinating. And, you know, maybe everybody's consciousness has changed. I don't know. But I think they're done. I think the grays are finished. I think they've done their program. They may have figured out that they can't save their species in the future if they are indeed us from the future, which is what I've heard from a lot of people, and that they came back here to strengthen their species because it was dying, and maybe they're finished. You know, who knows? Or maybe we live on in the future because of what they did here now. I don't know. But apparently in a dimensional world that we live in, where we're right next door to the next dimension, you know, we're one, what we call one DNA molecule or one DNA strand over from the next dimension, and one light spectrum, because our eyes can only see a small spectrum of light and color and, you know, what have you. If we were just, you know, one DNA strand and one light spectrum over, we'd be in another dimension, and maybe we're all the same there with just a little bit different traits. Who knows? You know, I mean, it's a wild, wild concept. And it's hard for people, I think, that are just raised, have a job and, you know, raised normally, have a job, go about having children and have a normal life and watch TV and just do the thing, to understand that, you know, possibly. Like, I was laying in bed one time, and I thought I heard myself walk in the front door, put the keys on the table. I was wearing a pair of high heels. I walked into the kitchen. I started humming a song that I haven't hummed for a long time, and I started making dinner. I'm laying there in bed in my bedroom hearing all this, and I realized, man, maybe I'm having a bleed over into another dimension and actually hearing myself in the same house, you know? And it's just, it was a wild thought. Maybe I was dreaming. Maybe I was half awake and half asleep. I don't know. But whatever it was an interesting thought in the moment. And I wished in that moment I was also a scientist, because I thought, oh boy, I'd love to be able to figure that one out in quantum physics. Well, any comments, James, about what we've been talking about here tonight about the UFO people and aliens?
Well, one in particular.
Well, I'm just, you know, I was just kind of, you know, throwing everything out there in a giant puddle. Have you heard anybody tell you that the aliens are stopping their harvesting of whatever DNA material they're using, or any of that? I mean, is this something I'm just hearing about? Because
I haven't heard that. I don't see any reason why they would stop. I mean, the negative Anunnakis, who are in control of this planet, still are in control. Maybe they were harvesting the DNA because we were on a negative timeline, but now we've managed to pass the cutoff point, which is
as we're in the business of wild speculation, it may be they're collecting DNA samples on everything so that they can do a kind of like Noah's Ark type thing and just delete everybody and then clone everything back.
Oh, God, I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
I don't think that's going to happen on this timeline. I think it's going to be a positive. Well, I mean,
yeah, I know. I was just scaring the crap out of everybody for the fun of it.
You know, James, I think you're right. I don't feel the end of the world thing happening. Everybody says it's all going to happen. I'm just like, I'm with Vinny on this one. I just so don't sad. Feel it's going to happen.
I'm a perpetual doomsday naysayer. Somebody tells me it's the end of the world, bro, and I was like, I don't care, bro. And they're like, what, hold on a second, but there's all this evidence that it's going to be the end of the world. Again, I don't care. If it's not the end of the world, then I'll spend all my time stressing about it and I'll die because of the stress, which will cause me sickness and illness. And if it is the end of the world, I'll get sick and stressed and die before the end of the world comes. So I'd rather not frickin' know about it, and I'd rather live in denial, thank you very much, because it's far more important to my survival sake.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, you know. And you know, it goes along with the super soldiers. Like I said, I've been trying to legitimize it the best I can so that people understand that some very bizarre stuff is happening to a lot of people. And I brought in the alien experiencers, I bought in the mind controlled people. You know, the people that are really getting the brunt of it right now are the targeted individuals. You know about the Naval Yard shooter, right, Vinny? Well, let me tell you, the group that I'm working with that actually presented at the last Super Soldier Summit called Covert Harassment and Surveillance. I'll look it up on the next break and I'll get it out for you. But they're an amazing group. They deal with all these targeted individuals. They have 7 phone calls a week where you can call in if you believe you're one of these targeted individuals and talk to up to 200 people at a time about their experiences and your experiences, and you guys can share. I mean, it's an amazing group. It's Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. That's the name of the group. So if you guys look that up on the internet, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, you will find them and they can help you out. At least they can give you some camaraderie so you guys can, whoever's targeted out there, people that are hearing voices in their head, people that are having beams shot at them where they can't sleep and they're in pain. And I mean, there's a myriad of things they're doing to these poor people. And the ones I feel the most sorry for are the ones that are having the voice-to-skull communication, and they are never left alone, and they are constantly being attacked. And those are the ones my heart breaks for them because nobody believes them, and they're in constant agony, and they've got people from our military talking in their heads to them, telling them, you know, these horrible things like we're going to rape your daughter, we're going to kill your mother, we're going to, you know, just horrible things all the time. And it's a running commentary in their head about everything that's going on in their life from moment to moment. And I can't even imagine that happening to me. Thank God it never has. I can tell you this, after having the experience where the helicopter shows up with me thinking about it, I can tell you they're doing it. You know, if someone had told me 4 years ago that these people were hearing voices, I would have said, get him some Prozac and throw him in the loony bin. But now I'm like, oh my God, I'm sure it's happening. I'm sure they're telling the truth.
Yeah.
And they need to be helped.
The universe is messing with me.
Well, the universe...
But what can they do? Yeah, what can they do to get helped?
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes being helpless is much better and easier to bear if you've got a group of other people around you who are also helpless in that regard. And in so doing, you gather together and you go stronger.
Exactly. They've got actual legal, what do you call it when you're going after the government? They're filing all kinds
class
of lawsuits.
Class action lawsuit.
They're doing a class action lawsuit right now. They've got a couple other things going on. It's a very powerful group. They've combined forces with a group in Europe and Japan and Canada and South America. And there's a lot of people out there trying to help these people. So, you know, especially now, I'm going to go back to what I was really trying to talk about here at the beginning of this mind control and voice to skull communication. That Naval Yard shooter was in touch with Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. He had sent them an email before he did the shooting and said that they were putting thoughts in his head and they were telling him to kill people and all this was going on. And after he actually got, I think, on one of the phone calls on a Saturday night and was talking to the group. And then about a week later, now don't quote me on that because I may be wrong about him actually being on a call, but I know for a fact He did send the email to Derek Robinson, the head of covert harassment and surveillance, and told him what they were doing to him. And so after he did shoot the people and killed himself, I believe, I think he killed himself. I'm not sure if he was shot or not. Can't remember the whole story. They confiscated his computer and found out that he had been in touch with this group, and they went personally, the FBI, to both Derek's house on the West Coast and the other guy that is the director of the organization on the East Coast. And they questioned them for hours about this guy. And what the two guys told the FBI agents that were in their house bothering them about this was, well, you guys are doing this to people. Why don't you deal with it from your side and go after the people that actually put the voice-to-skull communication in the poor guy's head and made him kill everybody? You know, and they fought with them about this, and it really turned the two FBI agents at the house on the West Coast, and I don't know how many guys were at the East Coast house, it got them thinking about, well, maybe we are the cause of this, you know? And so I thought that was intriguing, that they that they were turning the tables on these poor FBI guys to understand that this isn't just some little thing going on here with one guy. They pulled out all the paperwork. They pulled out all the emails. They pulled out all the people. They said, look, we've got a whole email list of 4,000 people that you guys are doing this to in your government, you know? So I thought that was very intriguing. I think everybody needs to know about that, that at least these guys are out there to help, you know, and I think they're wonderful and they've done a great job, and they did give us some amazing presentations. James, did you stick around for when the guy did the presentation about the animals being used by the people who program through the targeted individual program where they put, you know, thoughts in their heads and mind controlled them and wiped their memories and stuff. Did you stick around for that?
Wow. No, I did. Was it, what, so what, how were they mind controlling these animals?
Oh, my God. This was so intriguing. I only caught a very short part of it, but they actually implant devices in birds and your pets and different animals that are around your household so they can keep track of you through the animals. Because that's how advanced their devices are. I don't know if people have done the research on this, but if you have, you will find that they actually have a in-eye camera that they can implant into a human's eye, an animal's eye, or, you know, whatever they're using, I guess. And it's real. It was developed years ago. They've made it smaller and smaller and smaller. They used to have a lot of problems with it. Apparently now it's not nearly the problem it used to be, because the eye is a viscerous, you know, cylinder. It just kind of, they can anchor it and float it in the eye next to the iris. And it's wild. And they've actually got pictures of people who have these cameras implanted in their eyes. And they are developing them for covert ops so that they could just watch the covert op going on.
I was just imagining for a minute this syringe going plunging directly into my eyeball, and then it's stuck in there, and I'm going, and then a little chip, a little camera thing comes down and goes, you know, into the soft gelatin.
I know, but they've got pictures on the internet. If people are interested, you can see this. It's out there. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, been hidden. And you know what's even more intriguing? I'm developing a presentation on Hollywood television and super soldiers in the mind controlled. And I have been gathering up all the new TV shows that mention super soldiers or anything having to do with that. Have you guys seen the new TV show called Intelligence?
No, what's that about?
I find that a very ironically named TV show to play in America these days.
Yeah, I do too, believe me. But it's about a guy that's an ex, like, you know, Marine or whatever. I can't even remember. Army, you know, secret Army program, whatever. Anyhow, he gets discharged from the Army, I guess, and they find out that he has a genetic disposition or some kind of, you know, special quality that his brain can accept an implant from a microchip, a computer chip. So this guy can actually, use, he can look through his eyes and see, like the whole air in front of him becomes like a translucent TV screen or a picture or a 3D rendering of a room. Or he can measure, like the last episode, they had a minefield underneath the ground. So he looks at the ground, you see a grid pattern, and then he sees where all the mines were laid. And then he tells the guy how to walk out of it because he can see the grid pattern on the ground. He can access the internet through his head. And they're showing this on TV as something that isn't real and happening, but I got to tell you, folks, I'm beginning to wonder if they don't have stuff like that already. Now, not necessarily having that ability, but I am pretty sure they probably are putting chips in people's heads at some point or another, enhancing some sort of thought process. Now, whether it's through the eyes and seeing something or reading the internet, I don't know, but there's got to be something going on with that.
Well, they don't really – I mean, they don't really need to use large implants because so many people now have been laced with the bio API coming out of the chemtrails along with the nanites and the vaccine. All of us that are here living on this planet anyway have been already exposed to the mind control matrix.
I wonder, and I don't know much about it. Hey, Vinny, have you had a chemtrail expert on your show before?
Yeah, sure, Dan Wigginton.
Oh, yeah. It seems to me that might be a little bit hit and miss as far as getting the nanites in the amount and the type of nanites they need to be able to do the type of things I'm talking about, which would set people apart to be able to have more strength or more intelligence or more, you know, psychic ability or remote viewing capabilities or, you know, whatever it is they're trying to build into a person. I believe those nanites would have to be pretty specific. Why would they waste them on a whole population?
Well, if you wanted to enslave the population because you had a whole lot of off-world people that required, you know, a snack or something like that, a royal banquet, if you will, and apples in everybody's mouth, you have the nanites to physically control them like a little walk like a nanite, and it'll be fantastic.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't that be like, wouldn't you go to the shelf and you'd say, okay, nanite one, this makes them all comply, go to the FEMA camps.
Lauren, I'm sorry, we're having some problems here. We're just going to reset and try and sort out these technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen. Won't be a moment. We'll be right back.